Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence.
Who pissed me off this season and I did it in. I never know anything about anything, girls. John, unless it's Teen Titans. And all I really want is girls.
And in we'll the morning guide you through. I don't have Bruce penis kind of money. Walk,
and it's chilly here to talk. Make Bob Kane great again.
From White Castle to the now. That was just stating a fact, Jake. The inappropriate jokes come later. Hey, and welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I do the recording and producing.
Hello, I'm Benjamin, your reason for listening, the sunshine into Gotham, and the baby brother.
And your rainbow hitch.
And I'm Jake, I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through every week on the Brotherhood of Batman, which is a podcast of three very unique, different brothers who get together to talk about Batman, read the books that I laid out in some strange storyline order.
Unique means Aaron's old, Jake's boring, and I'm gay.
Yeah, I guess that's what that means. Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Each week we do a theme drink with our beverage, and so I did the drink for you guys today. We read a book called The Cat and the Bat, which has Batgirl and Catwoman chasing through the city. And so the drink that I made for you guys today is called The Naked Lady.
Oh, well, that might sound appropriate for this book.
What is it that I just put in my mouth?
A naked lady.
Oh, I haven't done that before. don't think I want to get started.
It's Bacardi Superior, vermouth, brandy, grenadine.
I'm sorry, for what, Jake?
Vermouth. Vermouth.
Vermouth?
Vermouth.
Vermouth.
Vermouth. Vermouth. For sweet vermouth. And then the garnishes are a grape and a lime twist in a star like a batarang.
It's cute. Oh, did you get a picture of it for the socials?
No, I will do that now.
You can find us at the Brotherhood of Batman on Instagram.
Or Brother HD Batman on Twitter. Or send us an email at brotherhoodofbatman@gmail.com.
Or on Facebook at the Brotherhood of Batman Facebook.
Awesome. Woo! It looks, yeah, it's not bad. It's different.
What have y'all boys been up to? Stop
talking about comic books, or what do you think you're doing, nerd?
Oh, stop that time is in.
Get those nerds! Nerd! Nerd! Or I
swear to God, Geek. You're gonna spend your 20 years alone. Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
My week in geek. I didn't have a whole lot since the last time we recorded. Birthday parties for children. So we went to a party the other night and some kids are doing Halloween already, like trunk or treats and stuff.
Oh, really? So soon?
Yeah, it's, I think some of them already, like schools and stuff are doing
beginning
those.
To middle of October when we record those.
That's actually mid to last and it's
getting there. You're right.
So... there was a girl, she's probably about six or seven, maybe seven at the oldest, wearing a Harley Quinn outfit.
Is this like OG Harley Quinn or is this like modern Harley
Quinn?
This
is like Daddy's Little Monster t-shirt with the jacket on. So what are you guys' thoughts on that, on little kids wearing, like little girls wearing Harley Quinn outfits? So that's my weekend geek. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I kind of like, they don't know obviously what's going on with that, but.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, she is now in the modern movies an icon for independent women, right? Right. She's supposed to be a strong, almost superheroine, but she's got an edge and she's still kind of a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't think it's that different than a little boy wearing a...
scary clown mask.
A scary clown mask or a like a Deadpool. Like if a little boy was wearing Deadpool, I'd be like, well, no, that would be worse to me. Are you thinking it's questionable just because it's kind of sexualized?
No, I don't know. I just was curious what your guys' thoughts on, like, well, I guess in general, kids that don't understand the concepts wearing costumes that are...
like, are we going to see little kids at Halloween this year dressed as the Joaquin Phoenix Joker?
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Yeah, and that's a... parenting mistake.
That's a choice. A choice that people can wrongly make whenever they want. That's cool. And who knows? Maybe she's read a couple recent comics, maybe. Or maybe she's seen Suicide Squad. I don't know.
Yeah, but my son went to his school's fall festival dressed in his creepy clown mask and wig.
God.
So this was the best one. You know those cutouts where you stick your head and face behind stuff?
Yeah.
So here's the one that he...
Oh, God! Snoopy,
so it's just
look
this
out.
Like creepy looking clown head in one of these the Peanuts pumpkins posters. So it's pretty funny. So that's my weekend.
If you guys had kids come to your house for trick or treating or went to trunk or treat and you had some awesome Batman costumes, send them to one of our social medias. We could do a whole like kids celebrating Batman.
Yay, Batman. I still don't know what I'm going to be for Halloween, so I might be something Batman. We'll have to wait and see. My weekend geek, I have two. I'll give one of them now. I just started watching the new CW show Nancy Drew, and I'm actually doing a geeky little Nancy Drew podcast that y'all...
What?
With this technology.
Plug.
It is a plug with your wife, Sarah, who's appeared on this podcast before. So
that's why
you...
I'm allowing it.
Right. So if you like me and Sarah or Nancy Drew or CW, you can find that. It's called What's New Nancy Drew, and I'm excited for that. So,
well, I have a question. Since now you're diving into the Nancy Drew world, who is the world's greatest detective?
It's still Batman right now. Followed closely by Veronica Mars. But when this when season one of Nancy Drew is over, I don't know. Okay. You'll have to listen to What's
New Nancy Drew.
I might
have to agree with the Veronica Mars. I haven't watched the new Hulu show.
Oh, it's so good.
Does it pick up from where the original TV show went or the movie?
The movie is canon, so TV show,
movie, and
then the TV show.
Okay.
There's also some books that Sarah read. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know. There's only one thing referenced in the new TV show that takes from the books.
Well, but are the books worth reading, though?
That would be a question for Sarah. She's read them. She has them. If you want to borrow them, I'm sure she would let you.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll have to find them.
But
yeah, I'd like reading those. Does Hulu have the original?
I think they do. If not, I have the DVDs.
Awesome. We have to start rewatching that. So. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Let's see. My Week in Geek. This week, probably about the time that this episode is airing, the Kickstarter will actually be ending. But very exciting. I think Sarah talked about it on the episode where our spouses all hosted. We are big fans of the game Zombicide, which is like a miniature, somewhat of an RPG board game where you run around, you have to kill swarms and swarms of zombies while keeping your post-apocalyptic character alive. Well, the new edition of that just dropped on Kickstarter, and we kickstarted it. It needed $250,000. It funded in 25 minutes.
Oh my
Holy
God.
Crap.
Yeah, and it hit over $1 million in just a little over 24 hours.
Wow. So. That's awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah. So now it's all these stretch goals are coming out for it. So there's all these cool characters that they're releasing. Like there's going to be an Oprah.
Yeah. I think you played with my kids one day when they came over.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And they said to have fun with it. I'd like to play sometime. I kind of like those games are fun. Do you ever fund anything on Kickstarter, Ben? I've done a few things.
I don't think so.
I did the newest throw burrito game.
What is that?
Yeah, I'll have to bring that over sometime. It's by the guys that did Exploding Kittens. I think I funded that one too. Throw burrito is you get these foam burritos, and it's basically like card swapping. So you match, and then you get like three of these attack ones where you have like duels, and you grab the burrito and throw it to the person. Yeah, it's basically like hit each other with flying burritos.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, some other ones.
I'm sure your boys love that.
We've only played it once because they can't handle losing.
They don't like the burrito being thrown at them?
No, they don't like when they
I think that's why they like Zombicide so much, because it was a cooperative game. Yeah. So you had to work as a team to solve.
We do a lot more cooperative games when we play stuff.
Yeah, although I feel like if the three of us played Zombicide that we would let each other just be eaten by zombies.
I think we probably would.
Yeah. I would not. I'm a team player.
You would scream.
I'd let Ben be eaten by zombies.
Constantly.
Oh my God, that burrito game would make me scream.
All right, well, we guys...
No, wait, I have one more. So it's really cute. I have a proud husband moment to share. Oh. So you all got to hear from my lovely husband, Josh, on the Sisterhood of Superman episode. Josh admitted that he doesn't read comics. Well, today my husband texted me that he was going to the comic book store to see if he could find the next issues of a comic series that I actually bought him years ago. I was up in my reading nook reading for this podcast and left him downstairs to watch TV by himself. And he got lonely and came up the other night,
lonely,
and sat with me. And he's like, where are my Avatar comic books? And I was like, oh, they're on this bookshelf. And so he sat with me and read comic books.
Aww.
And we both read nerdy little comic books. It was really cute.
That's adorable.
And so today he went to go buy the rest of them, which was cute. He couldn't find them. So I now am on a mission to track them down. So
Nice.
That'll be fun.
Let's put that in the seal. CLZ and share it with us.
It's in mine already.
So can you share from CLZ now?
I don't know.
Well, you can take a picture and send it, I did with the Batman animated.
I'm still stressed out since the last update that all my books aren't in there, so I need to go through the comic closet.
Oh, yeah. I still have books to file.
Well, talking about books, you guys want to get into this one?
Yep.
All right. What's we read Batman, the Cat and the Bat. This is...
Jake. What the hell?
Let me get
give us his recap.
Let me get my recap done first. So this is from Batman Confidential 17 through 21, which is kind of like the Legends of the Dark Knight series, guys. Like it tells older Batman stories that are like earlier in continuity.
Okay.
So this came out in 2008. It's a story about Catwoman steals Commissioner Gordon's notebook from...
Five-star notebooks are tough enough to survive almost anything.
She steals it from Batgirl, and that starts a race through Gotham City. So Batgirl is chasing Catwoman, trying to get the notebook back. The notebook keeps changing hands, and they keep having conflict with each other. And then you find out why Catwoman's actually after it. They go through a bunch of different things, through a sex club, they go through Arkham Asylum, they have to run into Batman, and it's kind of just a fun, wacky adventure of a comic book.
So, Ben, I think, thank you, Jake, for that recap.
yes, Aaron.
There's, I don't even know what to talk about on this book. There's a... Let's say there's a very beige, pale, one-tone color scheme going on in a few pages in this book.
Let's talk about best costume. The nudity. There was so much nudity.
Why was that, Ben? What were your thoughts on the hedonism?
So I have a lot to say about
this.
I actually have a lot to say about this book. So I flipped through this book when Jake first gave it to me. And
a mistake.
I was immediately like, I'm going to hate this. I'm going to have all this stuff to say about feminism, and this is man and men writing this, and this is awful garbage. I actually liked the book.
Yes! Yes! I was so unsure. It was a fucking flip of a coin. Was Ben going to, like, strangle me during this episode, or was he going to enjoy it?
Now I have my complaints, don't you worry.
Sure he does.
But overall, I really thought it was fun.
It was fun.
Okay, so you mentioned the scene. So Catwoman has the notebook. She can't lose Batgirl. She goes into this nudist thing that is sort of a sex club. I don't know what's going on.
It's a sex club. It's an hedonism sex club. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like, you know, the placement of things so you don't see anything too inappropriate.
Well, the big thing is she goes in thinking Batgirl won't follow her because it's no clothes required.
Right. Like, so Batgirl gets out of her outfit. She's wearing her mask. She's all nervous. And I'm like, this is garbage. I was like, this is literally like, let's get them naked. And that issue of this trade was probably not necessary. I think I've had conversations with my husband. I've had conversations with people about the use of nudity in art for plays and the use of nudity in different things. And is it gratuitous or is it necessary? It was not necessary in this book.
I kind of disagree. Not that I was like, you have to have it, but I feel like in this sense, it was Batgirl showing Catwoman that, yeah, I am strong enough. I can make my own decisions. I can take the lead on this, and I'm going to do the unpredictable to go after who I need to go after.
Yeah.
Yes.
That she's not just in it to be a costume fly-by-the-night hero. Like, she's committed to the right and the wrong and yes. stopping these characters.
Y'all? But they could have probably done that a different way.
Oh, no, they could have done it a different way. But
it wouldn't have like sucked you in.
No.
But can we talk about
the
way
that... I
was
captivated. You're right. I was sucked in. I wanted to see where it was going. And the issue leading up to it, I thought was really good. You got their dialogue. You got their internal monologues written very clearly different.
Yeah. Catelyn... One was torn. One was sharp. And like mm-hmm. one was like out of a page, out of a notebook. And
yeah.
very, you know, like textbooky kind of. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm thinking and that kind of stuff.
I really liked there were moments throughout their internal monologue where they were saying the same thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. But meant differently or mm-hmm. twisted somehow. Like,
well, Batgirl was talking about like Catwoman has this like weird kind of sort of thing with Batman. And then in Catwoman's monologue, it's like, I have this weird kind of sort of thing with Batman. It's the same wording. And I really liked that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that the first issue was strong enough to make me go through the sex club.
Well, so
did you dive right into the sex club?
My butt would have left my mask off. I would have been like, let's go in, but that's just me.
I had
not to do anything. Well,
freckles and red hair aside, I mean, what's the cow gonna do?
Who's right, gonna... And then she's like, it's.
I had three moments while reading that issue. When it first started happening, I'm like, okay, this is just fanboy. I realized why this book was hard for me to find because they've shelved it. Like, this is gratuitous fanboy.
I hate you, Aaron.
Nudity. And then the second,
and it sort of was.
The second part was like when they're going through and like it doesn't focus on their bodies. Like there's a lot of face shots. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of camera focused on their faces. And then it's not a ton of like overly gratuitous or sexualized poses.
Right.
And even like there's some quote unquote ugly poses or ugly faces when they're fighting. Like
right.
they made it very realistic in
and
the art
there's
style.
Unattractive people in there too.
Exactly.
There's older people or fat people or
and so at that point I'm like, okay, like I this issue
that was
feels
rude.
A little feels a little justified to me. But then I backed back out of it because like, okay, what would Batman have done if he had been chasing Catwoman in this club?
Well, she even thought that. Batgirl thought that. She's like, he probably would have broken a different way, but I'm doing what I need to do right now.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. There's no way Batman would have.
No, he would just strolled in like and pop people's faces against the wall.
Yeah. He would not have gotten to that. And so it's.
Now, you know, what would Dick have done? Let me just think about that for a moment. Sorry.
Dick would have probably stopped to have sex with like four people.
Probably.
He's a little hornball.
He's a mess. So I got through that part, and then the part that actually upset me in this book.
Can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
Was it when Catwoman and Batgirl are trying to do everything and Batman has to step in and save the day?
No.
That they get showed up by the man.
That didn't bother me because
interesting. I thought that would bother
because
you.
Of Batgirl's position of how new she is.
Because this
it,
is 3 weeks into Batgirl's
I didn't see
career.
It as a man thing as much as a superior, like a boss.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, and I totally see that. What bothered me was how their outfits got progressively more torn throughout.
Right.
Because of catfighting. Thank you. And so they were like basically naked by the end of it, having like shredded each other. And Batman does fighting and his outfit isn't tarnished at all. That bothered me because the man's didn't get ripped up and the women's did.
But they've been battling for like hours
but
before
the average,
Batman even comes in.
The average Batgirl or Catwoman comic, their outfits don't get ripped up throughout all the battling. Like,
it seemed a
weird artistic choice to me.
I think it went a little too far into the like jungle girl look by the end
tattered.
Of it. Yeah. Like I actually like the idea that like it showed the progression of this hell night that the two of those are going right. through. Like it's all one night and like Batgirl's exhausted through the whole thing. And I like the progression of showing that, you know, she's untrained. She's gonna be getting her hands dirtier than Batman is because she doesn't have
in the sex club.
She doesn't have the finesse that he does to avoid those situations. And so there was a way to tell that. And I do appreciate the costume not being crystal perfect by the time that the episode's done, but I do think they went too far with it. I think she ends up looking like is just hanging on where it has to.
And that I think that was gratuitous fanboy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Drawing there.
I agree. So Aaron, did you feel some sort of way about Batman stepping in?
Well, I thought it was kind of the girls can't do it without the man. I put that as a question mark. Is that I thought that you'd have an issue with that based on what you've talked about throughout this whole podcast on the women empowerment. But I thought there was a balance of, you know, I don't know. How old is Batgirl? How old is Barbara in this? You think 20?
18 to 19.
She's She's still new in her career, but she kept up with Catwoman throughout most of the book.
Yeah. Yeah. It stays
at
the beginning.
She was a badass. Barbara was a badass.
She was. And Catwoman even kind of, you know, near the end, like, recognizes it. So I liked that scene. But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, for some of the part, Batman stepped in, and then you have Dick stepping in at Arkham for a little bit. But
well, I want to challenge what you're saying, Aaron, because.
Oh, was it Clayface? I don't
know. No. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
I wrote down that our first intro to Clayface was this, so I don't know.
That's true.
Was this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Whoa, so much. So my thing with Batman stepping in, he went off to do one thing, and he's like, Catwoman ran off with the hostage girl she saved. Batgirl, you get the notebook. The notebook's your responsibility. You took it from your father, all this stuff. He sends her after the notebook. And girls do want to have fun, and they did.
Sorry.
Why was that two different sound clips?
Because I didn't know which one I needed.
But he has her go after the notebook. The Riddler takes the notebook to Arkham.
Oh, yeah, Riddler.
She goes in a much scarier, much more dangerous thing than I'm suspecting Batman did. So I think that Batman was
sent her there to find out about rock and roll.
Sent her there. Shut up. Not to find out about rock and roll, like that stupid book we read.
To society.
No, I think he let her do that knowing that Riddler was going to go there. I think Batman was testing her and letting her stop.
That was her gauntlet?
Yeah, I think it was because she went up against everyone.
Yeah, she had to fight her way through Arkham, which is easily my favorite part of this book.
Like, oh,
those scenes like she has to face. She thinks Robin's helping her and ends up being Clayface.
Apparently, I blacked out for 10 minutes.
She has to come up against Two-Face, which has wrecked Robin in the past and will continue to do so. Oh, she has to dispatch like all like the C-list guys right away,
yeah.
Like Cavalier and Polka Dot,
Blockbuster,
and then like the Red Room, like
Red.
She gets entrance into a room it's got two doors on either side of a hallway and one door in the middle, and it's all red and it looks really scary.
That was the page of the book. Like, that was the page.
Oh,
of this
book. Yeah.
It was the Joker.
Yeah, he's in the cell.
And
he's just like,
Riddler's controlling.
Let me out,
it.
Eddie. Eddie, let me out.
And
let me out,
the Riddler's
Eddie.
Like, I will open a door based on who answers the question. And he gives them a riddle, and Batgirl gets it.
Yep.
And the Joker rolls his eyes, and he's upset. And it's beautiful foreshadowing. That only worked because we know what happens.
Still works. Like if
that's, bang, bang!
That's Batman's greatest villain. Like, and you put one of
The emotional depth, the
for us it
level
does.
Of it.
But I think if you don't know what's coming up in a couple books that are at the end of her Batgirl career, like, that's still an amazing sequence. Like, of all like everything else up to that point is action and it's fisticuffs and it's her being scared and horrified, and then this is just a psychological moment, and she outthinks the Riddler and the Joker and gets through it.
See, I didn't pay as close attention to that page as I should have. I just reread it. I should have paid. I think I was like looking at Joker's depiction. And I was like, this is a shitty looking Joker. And I didn't pay as much attention to the words on the page as I should have.
Well, Aaron, because there are words for
a
reason.
Because my slacker brothers gave me this book in a very short amount of time frame.
What?
What? to actually read. I read it in like 20 minutes. I was like speed reading this stupid thing. So yeah, I should have spent more time on that page. So, yeah, that page probably was more important than some of the others.
That page is what I want out of Joker for the next few Batman movies. Like, I just want him in Arkham being spooky and like,
yeah, no, I think him
don't
in Arkham,
show me, just have a voice coming out of a marked cell. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just reread that now, and that, yeah, that page is the creepy dialogue in there, and yeah, I think that's good.
So I have a question.
Oh, wait, before we move on from that, there is a line after she gets out of that hallway and leaves, and she goes, oh, well, Joker's not so scary on the other side of a locked door.
Oh my God! Say it again, because I talked over it.
Joker's not so scary on the other side of a locked door.
Yeah, I gagged, and I haven't even read the book that that's referring to, but... It's very, 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 very scary. I'm uncomfortable. So I have a question. Did Barbara Gordon, in the last Batgirl we read, find out who Bruce Wayne was and Batman? Because in this, she kind of knows everything, and I was confused. Not coming for your continuity, I actually don't know who knew what.
So I think in the Batgirl year one story we read, they took her to the Batcave blindfolded. So I don't think she knew their identity at that
point.
But
she does now.
She does now. But I think you could read it as we talked about how she graduates college super early. She's working as a librarian. Like, I think her intelligence level is so high that she could have deduced it.
Well, she also knows Selina Kyle, though. So
right.
Is Selina Kyle Catwoman in the files that she's studying in the Batcave? Like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I think Catwoman's been arrested so many times that Selina Kyle is public knowledge.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Because they talk about it in current continuity, like with the wedding and everything. Like, Bruce Wayne can't just marry Selina Kyle, and then you see Batgirl, or you see Catwoman and Batman running on the rooftops together.
Bruce Wayne in Batgirl Year One revealed himself to Barbara.
Oh, he did. Oh,
and she takes the oath.
Cool. I don't remember.
I don't remember that either.
I know. I wrote in my notes.
Okay. Nice.
I will trust your notes, and I will listen to that episode tomorrow.
Robin wore the Bat Barbara disguise to fool Gordon.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Oh, nice.
Good job,
nice
Eric.
Callback.
Look at your notes. Look at that.
Coming handy. In my notebook.
I take notes
in
my
God,
phone.
Catwoman didn't get a hold of my notebook.
Well, yeah, so...
Your notebook's not as important as
although,
her
if she did, and she took it into a hedonism club, I'd be all right with that.
Well, I really like... So, I want to talk about Catwoman a little bit, but before, like, the reason that the notebook is a Oop. Thing, like...
Oh, Catwoman. Catwoman, will you never learn?
Stop! I'm over it!
No, you're not.
So...
I am!
Catwoman too steals bad. The notebook as leverage against some mobsters to release a...
I'm over mobsters still.
Well...
But Barbara had already stolen the notebook from her father to decode it to find out if he knew anything about her and Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Right. So she's getting back the stolen notebook so she can return it
and
not get in trouble.
The important things there is that Gordon knows some really complicated coding that he writes in on a daily basis, apparently.
But he doesn't know who Batman is.
No, because he's an idiot.
He doesn't write it down. That's what I took away from it.
Okay.
It's like, even in his code...
Well, he wouldn't
like,
want to write that
even
down.
Even in his ex-military code and all that he's using, like, he... Because I think we all decided...
From year one.
That year one, that he knows.
Taking that he knows.
And so, but he's not willing to commit it to paper, either to protect him
right.
or
I
to...
Right, I think he doesn't want it out there, yeah.
Right. Or to admit it to himself. Like, if I admit that I know, then I have to
I
deal with it.
To
so you talk about year one. We got some flashbacks, I kind of feel, and maybe I'm forgetting, and I might have to go back to my notes. When... Catwoman's ulterior motives for rescuing this girl. I feel like she's thinking back to her roots as prostitution before she went into
nice callback.
The crime, cat burglary, that she's wanting to save this girl from going down some routes that I think she had been down. So I read that when I was looking at that scene on what's her ulterior motive for really pulling this girl out.
Right.
That it was to maybe stop her from having to deal with some of the things that she had.
Well, and they keep
Which
calling her
person.
The Robin Hood of the alleyways mm-hmm. in this book. Batman refers to it, and Batgirl is like, oh, I've heard her called this before. Like, so this is a Catwoman who she likes to steal stuff, but she really does have a good spot.
Right. This is definitely leaning more towards her being a hero than a villain.
Right. Yeah, how do you guys feel about that Catwoman? Like, is that... I'm not going to lead that. I'm just going to say, I think that's my Catwoman. I like her
at
that place.
The more of a hero or the...
Where she will be the hero for the downtrodden and the
I like that.
Unprivileged, mm-hmm. but she takes from the privileged and the rich, and she, you know...
She's going to be her own person. She's going to make her decisions based on the moment and based on that individual need.
I thought there was good tie-in, too, in this book to the wedding issue that we read from Tom mm-hmm. King's run.
Yeah.
So I thought there was a lot of some things that really fit. You know, originally, I'm like, when I get to the scenes at the hedonism and the nudity and stuff, I'm like, why did Jake pick this book? And then, you know, and there's some, ultimately, there's some things I thought, okay, it
I'll
does
tell you
fit
why
with...
I picked it. Wink, wink.
Wow. Well, even...
The Joker page?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
No, nudity. Well, and I do like, you're right, there's a lot of callback. There's some callback to some books that, that we read even after year one. Like, when... Catwoman drops in and the mobsters have brought in Riddler to decode Gordon's notebook. And Catwoman drops in because she wants
to... Tell me this, Batman. What are the chilliest 12 inches in the world?
Oh, no.
Someone's dick? What is that?
I don't know. Chilliest 12 inches
Frozen
in the world.
Robin.
Aww.
So she drops in through the window and, like, Riddler's first comment is like, oh, she doesn't like me very
much. Yeah, that was referring to their antics together in Rome or whatever, right? Yeah, when he wears her costume.
Best outfit ever.
Best outfit
this
in season
book
two.
Really was more serious and more involved. Like, when you just said we're doing a Batgirl and Catwoman book, before I even flipped through it, I was like, Jake, we just gotta move on. But I did enjoy getting more from both of them. It's been a minute, and we need Batgirl while we still can.
Yeah, and we needed to check in with some of the villains.
And it was I liked that it was a flashback book. Like,
Did you like the scene near the end where Batgirl talks about how her legs are longer than better than Robin's, at least for the time being?
Oh, that was
too far.
That was unfortunate. I will say that Dick has better legs than her now, but whatever. We'll move on.
But I loved the art. Kevin Maguire's art in this.
I thought the art was really crisp and really detailed.
I thought there were great facial expressions. Really. Like, you really got the sense, like, when Barbara's biting her lip and rolling her eyes and, like, she's got, like, squinty face. And, like, he really knows how to draw women to look differently, which I think a lot of comic artists struggle with in the male-driven industry.
Yeah, I liked it. Do we have anything before we get into reviews?
Clayface, Jake. Tell us about Clayface. Since this was his introduction.
Tell us why we didn't get a Clayface book, Jake.
Okay.
Jake. But I love that it was Batgirl because I've been saying all podcasts that they're related.
They are related, and she is often up against Clayface. So
not related as in like brother, sister, but related as in used together in storylines.
I'll take my lumps. I didn't find the Clayface origin until we were like deep into season one. And it happens.
Gentle listeners, if I had a nickel for every time Jake has changed his timeline and changed his book order, I'd have a solid $20 lot of times.
You're right.
More than if we monetize this podcast.
Ooh, facts.
But the problem with that is it's stated in his book that it happens in like the first 2 or 3 weeks of him being Batman.
So you're admitting that
Matt
you
Hagen,
fucked up a lot.
Matt Hagen is this Clayface. There have been three different Clayfaces. But the Clayface that most people are familiar with, the giant monstrosity of walking, shambling clay, is Matt Hagen. He was an actor. I don't remember how he ended up getting clayfied.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter. His backstory isn't all important. And maybe you can go back and read it if you want to go back and read it.
He probably stood against a wall while electricity hit it and all these chemicals spilled.
Right.
On him.
He stood up against the, I don't know, he was in an art studio making some clay and then got electrocuted.
He
from
fell
the
on a potter's wheel.
Yes.
And got hit by lightning. Got it. All right.
Potter wheel face.
And then Patrick Swayze came in and shaped him with Demi Moore.
I love that we met him this way. I think you did a good job picking books for the big people. I'm not saying he's not big, but we don't need an origin. We don't need an episode of this podcast for every villain. And I really do associate with him Batgirl, which is bizarre. I think it's mostly from the TV show. But I associate him with Batgirl, so I'm glad that this happened. And I want to reread that scene because I did not realize he was Robin. I blacked out. It's like, where'd Robin go? I have no idea. Nice.
If you want to go back and read it, though, it is collected in a trade paperback called Monsters. So,
oh, the origin?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. It's from Legends of the Dark Knight. I don't remember the issue number.
So have we read, you said this is from a series similar to Legends. What's it called?
Batman Confidential.
Have we read other ones? I feel like we did, because you've used the it's like Legends before.
I would have to look at our complete timeline.
It's fine.
Yes. Yeah. No. Dead to Rights was a confidential story.
Ooh, we liked that one.
Yeah.
That was the Joker killing people with bananas and nuts and stuff.
Yeah. So it's the same kind of thing. They take an artist and a writer team. They give them 3 to 6 issues to tell one story back in the. Some of them are great, like the I think this one and Dead to Rights, and then some of them are a big miss, which I did not read. Rules of Engagement. You guys will be happy that we did not read that one.
Right, what good. Was that about?
Batman versus Lex Luthor for the first time.
I don't think we need that.
But it's bonkers as hell.
Oh, I like that concept by itself.
You can borrow it and read it.
I enjoyed this one. I read it pretty quick. Some of the fight scenes between Batgirl and Catwoman, I think, could have been toned down. I don't know if they necessarily needed to be. It was like half of the book was them fighting and going back and forth. Like, you know, some of the, I thought the dialogue and their internal monologue was good. It did make it a very quick read. If you've been following along with us and you've read Year One or you've read Batgirl Year One, I would say read those two first, pick this one up, and I think it fits really well with those three.
Yeah.
Good review, Aaron. Liked it, and I didn't think I was gonna like it. I kind of hate that I like it, because I do think that it is through a male eye. I do think there's some sexual things there. As Aaron pointed out, Batman has to come save the day in a way. There is gratuitous nudity, even though it's done artfully, and they just get all ripped up outfits. But I like what they had to say. I like the moving forward of the characters. I'm really enjoying Barbara Gordon in this podcast, like in this reading of the timeline, and she is not a character I've really cared that much about over the years. Read it. Definitely read it if you listen to this podcast. Read it if you like Batgirl. Read it if you like Catwoman. Is it essential to the Batman mythos? No. Is it essential to Batgirl and Catwoman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I completely agree with both of you guys. I think it's an essential Batgirl story. Batgirl suffers the same as Dick Grayson in reading modern comics. She doesn't have a lot of current stuff that wasn't wiped from the Crisis of Infinite Earths. So her as Batgirl, with what they decided to change in the rest of Batman's continuity, those stories are hard to find, and I think this one stands out. As I said before, the art is beautiful. It's a quick read. There are some great cameos by other Rogues members, too.
Yeah.
So I would definitely recommend picking it up. It is kind of hard to find, and I don't know if that's because of the
nudity.
The nudity. You don't see any.
There's not. I mean, you don't see anything graphic. It's mostly backs and.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's not actual.
But it's heavy implication.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think it's on a lot of shelves.
For like
but
12 pages. Like, it's going to be like.
It's a whole issue.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a whole issue of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's up next, Jake?
So if you guys are reading along with us, the next book that we are reading, a segment of a trade paperback called Second Chances. this is going to introduce us to a new character that we have been hinting and not so subtly talking about.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, you guys. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Not for this one. But for this one, so something can happen to him, so someone else could show up. I'm so excited.
The wheel is turning.
The wheel.
But we're going to be joined by a special guest for this episode, so tune in for Second Chances.
All right.
Aaron, what did we learn this week?
What? No. What did we learn?
It's that time again. To do another one of our cute little skits?
Yes.
No.
No.
It's time to learn today's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Aaron, what is the moral of today's story?
WWDD. What would Dick do?
Oh. Oh, he'd go into the nudity place.
Or.
He would, because yeah, no, they love showing Dick Grayson's butt.
That's true.
It's a thing.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. Stick with us, guys. We are having a lot of fun. Hope you are, too.
I'm Ben, your sunshine in the Gotham. And the baby brother? Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know. You're just tone. Just...
I'm getting tipsy.
Oh, fair enough. As you're like, you made it off the couch. Now you're on the floor.
I'm very comfortable.
And you're holding the mic. Yeah. Just slowly progressing.
Why do I hold the mic? I always hold the mic in its stand.
It's in its stand. That's the epitome of laziness. I'm not even going to hold the mic. I'm just going to hold the stand.
All right. I love it.
I'm Aaron. I'll clean this mess up. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Aaron, for cleaning it up.
All right. Hopes of biddies, plans the city's ways. I am the knight, a tyrant of the shade. I am the spice, I am the pain repaid. I am the night, a fear that lies in shadows cannot fade. Crush the Hey, everybody. This is Aaron from the Brotherhood of Batman. We just want to let you know the Brotherhood of Batman is now part of the Batman Podcast Network. And the Podcast Network is a collection of Batman-themed podcast shows and ones that cover DC films and other areas about Batman on film and some other things you may want to check out. We're excited to be part of this group, and you should head on over to batmanpodcastnetwork.com to find out more. And as always, check our socials for information about the Brotherhood of Batman on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email at brotherhoodofbatman@gmail.com. Thanks.